so I said, you know, I don't think people are ready for this to see the real thing. And so it was always sort of on the back burner. And then this TV show came.
Cashing in on the latest Alaska gold rush, and a regional tribal organization wants more federal attention on subsistence. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The Discovery Channel's Gold Rush Alaska film near Haines hit television sets nationwide last winter, infecting millions with a new strain of gold fever. This year, the Northern Lynn Canal tourism industry is expecting at least as many gold mining questions as Sarah Palin questions, and rising to answer some of them is Haines tour operator Joe Ordonez.
The interest is there. The interest is there, I think, because of the show, and the awareness is there that it is noisy, there are machines, you know, there is that reality, and what you call an unfulfilled niche was there. There was and I've got the vehicles, I got the guides, and I know tourism.
Ordonez owns Haines-based Rainbow Glacier Adventures. He's worked in tourism here for more than two decades, and he's applied for a new tour permit from the Haines Borough. It's for the Porcupine Gold Tour.
Then driving up the Haines Highway, so then you cross the Porcupine Bridge, and then you turn up the back road there up to the Porcupine Mine, and bounce along a little bit in this back road, and then you come up to the mining operation. And so the idea is that you'll have about an hour there at the mine, and so the first half hour is going to be where the operation is in full swing. And so the machines are there, and they're digging up the gold, they're digging up the gravel, and then they're dropping it in, and the machine's shaking, and they're trying to separate it all out. And so there'll be someone there from the mine to explain the intricacies of the operation. And then after that, we'll take them away from the main area where they're working, and then we're actually going to have a gold pan. And then eventually you're going to find that little gold separate it out, and then that gold is yours to keep.
Of course, it's directly related to the reality TV show the Discovery Channel filmed in the Chilkat Valley last summer, when they staged a group of unemployed Oregonians on a makeshift gold mining operation near Porcupine.
So I'm thinking this is a niche that could grow, and it looks like the show's going to keep going. And I don't know exactly what the story is, whether they're going to be up in the Klondike or where they're going to be, but I mean, I think it was very surprising for most people in Haines that how popular the show was. And so if people want to see the real thing, we're happy to take them.
In fact, Gold Rush Alaska was the number one cable program during primetime among men ages 25 to 54. And people visiting this summer will want to know more about it, just like they have for any number of Alaska-themed shows, Deadliest Catch, Northern Exposure, White Fang, you know the list. But it's a tour others have had in mind even before the show hit cable, one Ordonez has even done before for a private group.
And so I have this sort of in the back of my mind on the books, but the romantic idea of gold, of a gold tour in Alaska, you imagine you're going to sort of, like I've seen in Liarsville over in Skagway, there's the little creek, and you just hear the little sound of the water dripping down, and you go, and then there you have a little trough, and you have the pan, there's the guy with the beard, you know, and so it's just, everyone's got this romantic idea of what a gold tour would be like.
But in case you haven't been there, that's not what Porcupine looks like. There's more heavy machinery than beards. Thunderous bulldozers shake the ground. It's the real thing.
And so I said, you know, I don't think people are ready for this to see the real thing. And so it was always sort of on the back burner. And then this TV show came. And here, you know, I've only seen it once, but it's all about these machines, these big machines, and they're breaking, and the guys are fighting, and they're arguing, and it's noisy, and it's rugged, and now that's what people want to see. Not, you know, now people want to see the real thing.
Some locals are seeing more frustration than dollar signs, though. Some residents are groaning at the thought of having film crews return or an image promoted in a TV show that can't be proven, one that might even draw the wrong people, possibly the wrong broke people, to move here. Joe agrees.
You know, this is not going to be the TV version. This is not going to be the sanitized tourist version. This is going to be real guys really at work. They don't want to shut down the mill when the tourists are there, because they're pulling gold out of the ground and they want to make their money. And so That's what we're advertising is, you know, so not exactly as seen on TV, but the Schnabels, John has been interviewed on that show, and because I know that he's the real Alaskan guy who's been there doing it compared to the guys from Oregon who come up.
Ordonez already has a year-round resident lined up to run the tour and is working with the Schnabel family, owners of the mine, on developing the tour. He's even using the same van and brochures that the Schnabels' old tour of the mine used, and they already have people signed up.
I'm not going to run any more than 24 people maximum at a time. I don't have any big 50-passenger bus or any plan for anything that big.
The tour will be sold through online brokers off the dock and in Skagway and Haines. Ordonez plans to offer a locals tour at a discount for residents who want to know more about it before the summer season gets in full swing.
This is an authentic gold mine. There's a lot of history there. Gold was actually found there. Gold is still being found there. It's an operating placer mine. And plus, the whole Lincoln with the TV show, this is where they did it. You know, when we cross that bridge, they're going to know that, you know, that those guys couldn't drive their big machine over the bridge because it was going to break. And that's the stream where they got stuck and all you know, all those stories that go with that.
The commercial tour permit for Rainbow Glacier Adventure's new activity, the Porcupine Gold Tour, is on the Haines Assembly's agenda for Tuesday night's regular meeting, held this week at a special location at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center. That meeting will also see the introduction of an ordinance to prohibit heliports in the Mud Bay Planning and Zoning District and the fourth hearing of the ordinance that would increase wharfage rates at the Port of Haines. That ordinance would also allow the borough to enter into special use agreements at the Port Chilkoot Dock Lightering Facility, particularly for the Haines-Skagway Fast Ferry, which is scheduled to resume summertime sailings between the two communities on May 12th. The next Haines Assembly meeting is at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April 26th. Southeast's largest tribal organization continues to push for more federal involvement in subsistence. The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska made it a priority at this month's annual meeting. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld was there.
The past few years have seen battles over traditional hunting and fishing in Southeast and other parts of the state. That led the Central Council and some other Native organizations to renew their focus on subsistence. Many of the concerns pertain to state enforcement actions on federal land. Council President Ed Thomas says delegates at this month's General Assembly meeting passed a resolution making it clear that subsistence remains a priority.
The federal government says that it's stepping in to take over management on federal lands, but they don't include that in their budgeting. The agencies primarily have other priorities that they put in their budgeting process. So subsistence, through the absence of a federal presence, ends up back in the state jurisdiction anyway.
Reapportionment was another concern and the topic of another resolution. Plans for Southeast House and Senate districts released by a state board would make it difficult for either of the region's rural Native legislators to win re-election.
I know that you can't isolate rural communities when you get into redistricting, but very often the voice of our rural people get consumed by the larger numbers in urban centers.
Other resolutions addressed foster care, transportation, legal protections for Native art, and health issues. The 76th Annual Tribal Assembly also heard about reductions in funding for programs it runs. Thomas says that's been expected and has been reflected in Central Council spending.
We're in a budget-cutting mood. We want to prepare ourselves in the event there are further federal cuts and state cuts. So administratively, we're tightening our belt.
He says the total yearly budget is about $30 million, varying as grants come and go. Thomas says that includes about $7 million in administration costs, which was reduced close to 10% this year. The council provides a variety of services to members, including housing, health, elder support, employment, and training. About 120 delegates attended the General Assembly, held at Juneau's Alaska Native Brotherhood Hall. They represent more than 27,000 tribal members in Southeast Alaska and elsewhere. Next year's tribal assembly will also be held in the capital city. It will include elections for president and other officers. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A neighbor's name was heard nationwide on the oddly informative news quiz radio show NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me over the weekend. Haines resident Maggie Stern's story rose to gain nationwide attention after she suffered a fall on ice, lost her sense of smell, then appeared on the front page of the Chilkat Valley News after taking up interesting volunteer work. Here's the clip from the national show that aired Saturday morning on KHNS.
Right, a woman who lost her sense of smell after a head injury made lemonade out of lemons by becoming blank.
A sanitation engineer.
No, the official pooper scooper of Haines, Alaska. Maggie Stern lost her sense of smell, so when the town needed a volunteer pooper scooper, she thought, why not? In a similar move, NPR has hired a blind man to be the official photographer for its Men of NPR calendar.
Way to go, Maggie. You stumped him. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.